going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive. Up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
That's right, it is the Going Deep podcast, and I am Donovan Bennett. And as you know, on this podcast, we often talk about how sports intersects with all things diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, and sometimes cite when teams, leagues, individuals don't meet the mark, but certainly we have to celebrate when that is true, when they meet the mark, or at times go beyond the current mark and set a new standard. And that's what the NHL is doing with a new initiative with PXP, announced recently that you're going to see during the Stanley Cup. It's first of its kind, and it's going to be an alternate telecast stream during the Stanley Cup final dedicated completely to the deaf community, although I'm going to check it out as well. It's using ASL, American Sign Language. If you're in the United States, you can find it via ESPN Plus. Obviously, here in Canada, you can find it via Sportsnet Plus. What the telecast will feature is deaf commentators giving you real-time coverage of the play-by-play in color during each game. There will also be some special guests that are hard of hearing themselves or really special to the deaf community. So you can expect to see things like visual descriptions of major plays like goals or hits or referee calls, rules, explanations that are ones that need some clarification based off of what happened on the ice. There'll be some graphics as well to help with the visualization, which will include things like a real-time bar that demonstrates the crowd noise during different levels of the game. Things, quite frankly, that I, as a viewer, take for granted, because hockey is such a fast sport, but it's also a full sensory experience, whether you're watching it at home, on the couch, or in arena. So I'm so curious, and I'm sure at this point you are, how this partnership started between the NHL and PXP, and what might future partnerships look like for the NHL or other leagues and teams who want to provide the same service. First, we're going to talk to a multiple-time guest of the program, someone who's leading the NHL in many different facets. That would be their Senior Executive Vice President of Social Impact Growth Initiatives and Legislative Affairs, Kim Davis, with the best title in sports. After we catch up with Kim, we're actually going to talk to Bryce Christensen, who is the CEO and founder of PXP. Let's go deep on the NHL's partnership with PXP, providing the first major sports telecast dedicated fully to the deaf community. So Kim, it is a busy time in the world of hockey, specifically in the NHL. There are a lot of things on the agenda, but this partnership initiative is really impactful. Why did the NHL feel the need to do this right now?
In order to understand the depth of the relationship with PXP and Bryce, I have to go back a couple of years. I actually met the PXP team at the Carnegie Initiative, the first one in Boston. And honestly, I wasn't familiar with their work. And they were really very tiny and really just doing things in the sports world in a very, very small way. And I was overwhelmed, frankly, to even know that there was a difference in how one interprets American Sign Language, ASL, versus the interpretation of English. And so we started a dialogue which resulted in our initial relationship, and we just kept learning more and listening more around the ways in which we could make our product and the game more accessible to everybody. And you know, we started small with them, and part of it was our learning, but a big part of it was really about how do we do it in a way that is authentic to their community. And so here we are, you know, for the first time ever. And the word I think that a number of people in the deaf community have used is that this is pioneering. It's never been done before, broadcast and experience of a major sports event for the deaf and by the deaf. So it's a proud moment.
Love to hear it, because I think what you just described is the best case of why we have initiatives like the Carnegie. Are there plans to expand upon what you've announced doing in 2024?
Yeah, we certainly plan to expand on this broadcast beyond just this year's Stanley Cup, but going into the 24-25 season as well. We haven't solidified those plans because all of the plans for the next season are underway, but we really feel strongly that we're going to have buy-in from our broadcast partners. And it's really what we're about to do is going to be, I think, a model of success to draw off of the final. We'll really be able to then implement NHL and ASL into more broadcasts during the regular season. So yeah, this is not a one and done.
One of the last times we had the chance to connect, we were talking about the data that the league now had in terms of polling stakeholders to figure out exactly where you were, to get an understanding. I believe that what doesn't get measured doesn't get done. When you look at the diversity efforts the league has improved on this year, what are the things that stick out to you?
Well, you probably know this more than many. We are now going into the year of our second season for the impact report. So we committed publicly 2 years ago in 2022 when we first reported on the demographics across the league and the 32 clubs that we would do it every 2 years. And so we're preparing for that now. A couple of things that I would highlight that make me feel like we're making progress. No victory laps, because there's a lot of work to do. But I think on the ice, for example, we got this year more than 40,000 young boys and girls, and that's a record number. For sure, it's a record number since I've been here, and I think it's a record number overall, that tried hockey for the first time. In our arenas, more than 350 in-game awareness nights were celebrated with fans. And in the locker room, which was a real dream of mine, we had the first ever league-wide inclusion educational tour completed across all 32 clubs by the Player Inclusion Coalition. And that's, to me, just amazing progress in embedding the work of inclusion into the DNA of our sport, both on and off the ice.
You mentioned no victory laps. I know there's still things on your desk you're working on. What are some of the things you look to address in future years?
I think, for sure, the deep, long-term work that is required to understand exactly how to make our sport culturally available to different segments and different populations. It is not a one-size-fit-all. I think we've spent the last couple of years really understanding that and going deep with research in Canada, specifically the South Asian community, in the U.S., the Hispanic Latino community, understanding that it's not just good enough to say that you are celebrating theme nights, but that you have to make yourself available in the community, to understand the community, to build credibility with the community, which starts in large part with representation, right? Representation counts. And so I think when boys and girls see themselves on the ice and off the ice, it makes them believe that we are legitimately serious about making sure that hockey is for everyone and that inclusion is a year-round sport. So I'm proud that we are continuing to do that work and doing it quietly and effectively.
Having said that, I wonder for you, given the work that you have done and are doing, what is the significance of the diversity of the top prospects in this upcoming draft? What potential sign does that show, and what impact could it have?
Yeah, I mean, that's a wonderful example of the importance of representation. To have the pipeline increasing. I always talk about, since I've been here, it'll be 7 years in December, I've talked about widening the funnel. And then people expect that, you know, why don't we see more diversity on the ice? And they don't understand it takes decades to build individuals of any background to play professional sports, but particularly in our sport, because we are underrepresented, particularly from a demographic point of view, we have to make sure that we get kids in the pipeline. They have to understand how to navigate, you know, from learning to play to recreation to professional to elite. They have to know how to operate within those networks and that culture. And so this, to me, what we are seeing with the draft is a sign that that funnel is widening. And the more young people as well as fans see themselves on the ice, the more we will continue to grow our sport and grow our business.
You know, I had the pleasure of going to a couple PWHL games this season, and across the board, I continue to hear how welcoming the atmosphere was, which is an anecdotal data point. It might not be a tangible one, but I wonder your observation of the first season, any learnings or potential impactful lessons from their inaugural season that you might be able to apply to the work you're doing?
I'm just so proud to see the rapid growth and the rapid success of the PWHL. It is important, and we have always said that, for girls who want to play our sport professionally, that they have a pathway to do that. We know that girls' participation is growing at faster rates than boys across North America. And so to finally be able to say to girls, both young girls, college girls, that if you want to play professionally, there is a place for you. That moment has arrived, and it's wonderful. And it's a growth engine for the entire sport of hockey. So I'm excited about it.
Knowing that it's a growth engine for the entire sport, do you foresee yourself continuing to support and collaborate with the PWHL the way you did during All-Star, and what might that look like?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. The game is exciting. It is something that not just young girls enjoy, but young boys and fans in general enjoy. So to the extent that we can continue to find ways to support and amplify and highlight, we will do so.
And lastly, I mentioned earlier, you know, what doesn't get measured doesn't get done. You started this partnership with PXP. I wonder, how do you measure the success of the partnership, and what are you looking to see it do during the Stanley Cup?
I think we underestimate, or maybe we just don't know. We just don't ever see the data that shows the number of fans and fans in waiting, but also fans who have family members who are deaf or hearing impaired. I have already received, just from the small amount of work we've done with this community, notes from people saying, you know, this is very important to me. I was a casual fan. I now am leaning in even more deeply to the sport because of this work. You know, you often hear me talk about inclusion is about growth. This, like everything that we do in the inclusion space, is important for us to grow our sport and grow our game. And this is no different. And so I expect to see us grow our fan base with the hearing impaired. But also, I think it will strengthen, it creates even greater stickiness with our existing fans who intersect around this population. So we will continue to measure that. And my hope is, at some point, as we do our demographic study, we are able to, both from our fan point of view, but also from our employees, to understand exactly what this population looks like, so we can really measure in a very qualitative way the impact that we're having, both qualitatively and quantitatively.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised the next time we chat, when we circle back to this conversation, that part of that success is that this is somewhat commonplace in entertainment, and you're a leader, and we may see it during the Super Bowl or the Olympics or the Grammys. So thank you for, in this sector, being, you know, a rising tide that has the power to lift many boats.
Well, we love pioneering, and it is exciting because what it does is that it helps the other communities see all the possibilities.
No question, but not easy. So thank you, Kim, and looking forward to our next chat.
Always. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
So Bryce, congrats. But let's go back to the beginning. How did PXP start?
Well, first and foremost, thank you so much for your interest in helping us spread more awareness with the movement that the NHL is on, as well as PXP. But to answer your question, PXP really started when I was a kid. My father, who is deaf, a huge sports fan, he taught me language and culture, and then also instilled this love of sports. And it started back when I was a kid, and then it continued to evolve into what we now know as PXP. But I started a Packers podcast back in 2017. And our chief operating officer of PXP, Jason Altman, had suggested to make it American Sign Language accessible. And little did we know we'd become the first ASL podcast to provide ASL accessibility. And from there, really started to be curious about accessibility and inclusion in sports. And then the Milwaukee Bucks were the first team that gave me my first opportunity, interpreted the press conferences, and from there, really noticed that there was an opportunity to do some good, and then also that there was an opportunity to make a business out of it.
Well, let's talk about the business and the market. So for people who aren't familiar, what's the size of the audience that this will serve, in your estimation, during the Stanley Cup?
Hopefully the whole world will tune in, not just deaf people. I would love for people that aren't exposed to deaf culture, what PXP is doing, what the NHL is doing. I mean, they've really allowed PXP to thrive, and PXP would not be here without the NHL. I just have to be forthright with that. We can talk a little bit more about that partnership a little later on, but there's about 2 to 3 million deaf people who use American Sign Language as their primary language throughout the United States. And then I think that there's over 40 million deaf and hard of hearing. But in terms of American Sign Language, it's about 3 million throughout the United States. And then there are quotas with children of deaf adults, which I am, and my first language being American Sign Language. You have people that have taken ASL. You also have allies, like so many different people within the NHL that have started to learn sign language because of this initiative and project that we've been on. But I would love nothing more than us to actually make an impact within the hearing world. And how do we get more buy-in? Because they're the key. We live in a hearing world. We live in a phonocentric world. How do we get more buy-in from them? Because they make the decisions. And so I try to open the door and let the deaf community navigate. And then from there, we really do need hearing people's buy-in.
Well, let's hear about the broadcast. What's the value add for viewers? Explain what people will experience during the Stanley Cup.
We're flipping the script. It'll be an immersive deaf experience completely in American Sign Language. It's groundbreaking. I use this in our pitch to really push the bounds of what accessibility looks like. And our three pillars within PXP are accessibility, inclusion, and representation. Deaf people want to see themselves on the screen. They want to see themselves in a variety of different aspects within society. The NHL are the ones that decided to put the trust in PXP, and from there, really, they were the ones driving this. And we've just wanted deaf representation. We just didn't know where to start. And so to have deaf broadcasting, have it be available on Sportsnet and ESPN, I don't even know if it's a dream come true, because I never even fathomed we'd have deaf broadcasters. This started out as ASL interpreting for press conferences, and it's iterated over time to this. And I'm just so grateful and excited that we get live representation and we get a reflection from the deaf community that elevates the deaf and hard of hearing community when it comes to professional sports.
Are there additional things we can do in the sports world to better include deaf and hard of hearing fans?
I think one thing is patience. Our partnership with the NHL has materialized over several years. And it's been one brick at a time. We get an opportunity here and there, and I get it. It's all about trust and building a connection and relationship and providing value. And I'm so grateful and humbled that the NHL believes in us and wants to try this out. But in relation to your question, I think from top to bottom, there are a lot of other different services that we provide within PXP. We train and onboard staff with professional sports teams. There's a lot of turnover in sports. And so it's almost like you're constantly rebuilding relationships. Another really big blessing in disguise with the NHL is that there's been consistency with our point of contacts and the structure within the NHL. We don't have that oftentimes with other professional sports teams. It's a grueling business. There's a lot of turnover. So we provide onboarding training to staff on how do they interact with deaf and hard of hearing fans when they enter the building. We provide, I know people don't like the word audit, but we provide an examination of accessibility when it comes to the arena experience. I would love to see teams take the initiative and make all of their content on social media accessible with closed captions. I would love to see more interviews and press conferences where there's ASL interpreters. And I would love to see us build off of live representation. Having the national anthem performed in ASL by deaf performers on TV in its entirety, having deaf people on TV in its entirety and having representation that impacts the deaf and hard of hearing youth where they have role models, there's a huge ripple effect that we do. So I also think that when it comes to buying tickets, oftentimes we'll hear from sports teams where, well, we don't really have a deaf population. Well, you have to buy the tickets usually through phone call. You have to then correspond via email, which is in their second language. So oftentimes, and then you have to request interpreting services. So oftentimes they're just overwhelmed and exhausted by just trying to get a ticket. And so that's why we really don't see an accurate representation. If I can quote the movie Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. And the more accessibility, inclusion, and representation that sports teams have, the more deaf fans they will see.
Well, you've built it, and the NHL has come, and now many fans across the world will be able to come as well. Many will be served by what you're doing, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you do next. So keep us posted, certainly, and you mentioned exhausted. I'm sure you have been with this process, but try as well to enjoy this landmark opportunity. Thank you so much, Bryce.
Thank you, Donovan. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much to Kim Davis and Bryce Christensen again. If you are in the U.S., ESPN Plus is your source. If you're right here in Canada, Sportsnet Plus is where you can see that PXP broadcast for everyone, as you heard, not just people who are deaf and hard of hearing. So check it out. Pretty cool. I'm very interested to see what it's like and see if it is as good, if not even better, than the traditional broadcast. I'll be bouncing back and forth as I watch the Stanley Cup final, which starts on Saturday. Let's go. There are so many reasons to be excited about this Stanley Cup final, and so many people are excited, including someone who we should tap in with before we end this program. You've probably heard the song Connor McDavid, and for many reasons, I think this is the Stanley Cup final of Connor McDavid. Polaris Music Prize-winning rapper Cadence Weapon, who reps Edmonton in all things, came up with this song not long after McDavid was drafted, and it went viral. It was used in TikToks and highlight videos for him. Well, naturally, since after his 9-year career, McDavid has finally gotten to the Stanley Cup, we needed a remix. So Cadence jumped on the track. Remix is so fire that I used it for my own work. You're going to hear some of that a little bit later. But first, let's hear from Cadence Weapon himself on the inspiration for the track and the excitement of the series.
You know I had to do it to him. This is that 2024 Stanley Cup version. Connor McDavid, Cadence Weapon. You know what it is. Let's get fired up, boys. Woo! I be skating on your whole team, Connor McDavid. Young player, but I'm in the league, Connor McDavid. It dissipated when I came in. We'll be winning when the game ends. I be skating on your whole team, Connor McDavid.
So
Dude, when I think of hip hop, I don't necessarily think of Connor McDavid. You know, the heat on his feet are aloes. He's not necessarily who I think of when I think of hip hop culture, but you come with not one, but two Connor McDavid tracks. We'll get into the remix in a sec, but not long after he's drafted, why did you think, you know what, I'm just going to bless this guy with a track?
Well, okay, the way I was thinking, you got to realize I'm originally from Edmonton, and I'm always trying to have things that are just for the people there that give you some civic pride from being from there. And back 2017, I was seeing all the excitement around Connor McDavid when he got drafted and when they first got to the playoffs. And I had this vision, you know, I've seen all the people with the trucks and the flags and the Oilers flags and stuff. And I was like, I need to make a track for people to play when they're going to the game, play when they're like hanging with their friends. Like, I wanted to just create this anthem. And I was really inspired. I don't know if you've ever heard any of the kind of rap songs on mixtape tracks where it's about an athlete, you know, it'll be like Stephen Curry by Lil Wayne or any kind of those, like Kobe Bryant, you know, those kind of like as the title. So I was like, why don't I do this for a hockey player? Why don't I do Connor McDavid?
Well, you did it. And not just people from Edmonton got on board. It was all up on TikTok. People are out here teefing Sportsnet highlights and making YouTube videos from it. What was it like for you to see it kind of continue to grow organically?
It's really cool, man. It's really a unique circumstance for a musician when you have things that just start rolling and it's nothing to do with anything you've done extra. I feel like the song just resonated with people. I think people who are hockey fans, they've always wanted, you know, a legitimately good hockey anthem that was rap music, I think. And I don't think it's really ever been done before. When you think of hockey music anthems, you think of, you know, the good old hockey game. Right, you think of maybe like some tragically hip songs that are about hockey, but there's not a lot of rap bangers that are actually just legitimately good music. That was an important thing for me too, is that I wanted it to be, even if you didn't know who Connor McDavid was or you didn't really know anything about hockey, you could still appreciate it just as music.
Well, and there is a relationship with the culture far before Snoop was out here at, you know, Las Vegas games going ham. There's so many great hip-hop videos with hockey jerseys in them. Did you get a sense or learn at all that he became aware of the track? Did you know if the team started to utilize it?
Yeah, you know, he did hear the track. They actually played it for him on Hockey Night in Canada, live on the air, and I got to see his reaction. And he was talking about how, oh yeah, like the boys back home told me about the song. Everyone's really excited about it. And he was just like, yeah, it's really cool. He obviously wasn't like too effusive, as is his personality, but I think he, you know, we got a smile out of him. It was good.
No doubt. I'm going to be utilizing the track. So thank you for blessing me with it now in some content leading up to the Stanley Cup, which our audience is going to be able to listen to and check out. But you come with the remix now that the team is back in the Stanley Cup final for the first time since 06. As the run was happening, was this in the back of your mind, or when did you make the decision?
Well, yeah, it definitely, it was something that people had been DMing me for, not just during this playoff run, but for years, ever since I made the first version, to update the song. They're like, I want to get the new players on there. Come on, make a new version. I'm like, man, this is so much work to do this. I can't be doing this every year. I'll be doing it for the rest of my life. But this just felt like the right time. Like, I remember just watching the game when they got into the Stanley Cup. And I just felt like this is the right moment. Let's give them something to remember. It's going to be a part of the playoff run. It's going to be a part of, imagine if they win, you know, it could be just a really special moment. So I really wanted to just give that to the people of Edmonton, give them something to really rally around during this finals run.
Well, you made the mistake. You set the precedent now, because now people are going to be like, okay, we need the Connor Bedard, or we need to keep it Edmonton. We need the Trey Ford. So do you have anything else that, you know, you might throw some pen to pad and bless us with in the future?
No, but you know, I heard that Austin Matthews one that they made for the Uber commercial, and I know that was inspired by me. So I think Uber, you need to go direct to the source next time.
I love it. I love it. Well, speaking of going direct to the source, let's talk about the music and what you're doing and where you're taking your career. You know, as I said to you earlier, congratulations. Well, what are you excited about in terms of what you got going on in the near future?
Yeah, well, I actually put out an album in April. It's called Roller Coaster. I'm really proud of that. I think it's one of the best things I've ever made. I'm going to be playing some shows in the West Coast in the fall. I'm working on a new book I've been writing. You know, I've always got a lot of things on the go, but I think right now it's all about Connor McDavid. Everybody who is a hockey fan, you need to hear this song at least once. I think it will put a smile on your face. It's on all platforms right now, and I'm actually going to be heading back to Edmonton this weekend because, like, I just need to be a part of the energy. I need to see what's happening. I'm going to try and catch one of the games. And we're going to shoot a video for the song. We're going to shoot a video for Connor McDavid. So, if you're in Edmonton, you want to be a part of the video, you want to be part of the magic, follow me on Instagram for more information about that.
Well, let's not stop there. Let's continue the promo. Where people can follow you, get your music, and continue to watch your rise, hit us up.
Yeah, for sure. Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. I got a Substack newsletter. All of it's going to be at Cadence Weapon.
And lastly, I actually want to talk about the team and the squad. You said the word roller coaster. This is what the season has been. This is what the postseason has been. This is what the Edmonton Oilers' experience has been since you guys had bare first overall picks, and now you finally got to the Stanley Cup final. But your mindset, your emotion, you know, as an Oilers fan going into this series, just for all of us outsiders who are jumping on the bandwagon late, let us know what this has been like.
Well, it's interesting. I think this is the first year where I actually felt really optimistic going into the finals here. Previously, there's this expectation. We have this Edmontonian feeling where, you know, you could be up 3-1 and you just don't feel safe. You never feel safe the whole game and you feel like anything is going to go wrong. But this year, it feels like every moment of adversity, we came up to it and we got past it. You know, we had ups and downs. You had Darnell Nurse having his ups and downs. And I feel like he's like a microcosm for the whole team. It's like we run into these roadblocks and we just get past it. And that's not something we used to do in the previous playoff runs. And I feel like this is one of those years. You find this with playoff teams, especially young teams that are learning how to win. They have to lose a few times to learn how to win. And I think maybe we finally got to the point where we're ready to take that next step.
Well, I hope so, because y'all need something. You don't have an NSL team. Your Edmonton Elks had a promotion where if you lose, you get to go to another game, and you just kept losing to the point where people didn't want to go to another game. And you've been waiting. It seemed like this was destined to happen as soon as the lottery balls fell in your favor again, and you got McDavid. And now finally, you're at that spot. So it's been a minute. Enjoy it. Thank you for allowing all of us Canadians to have a little peek into what it's like to be an Oilers fan. And thank you for giving us all something to vibe to as we get ready to watch the series start on Saturday night and beyond. So thank you. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much to Cadence. And as I mentioned, I use this song as the instrumental for an essay that I worked on trying to set the stage of this Stanley Cup final, which is not just an opportunity for us as Canadians to end the streak. Because let's be honest, every year, whoever lifts the cup, that team has more Canadians on it than anybody else. I don't really care personally if one of our cities isn't the one to win it. Law of averages says the streak's going to end at some point. I hope. Maybe in a couple weeks. But this has implications on McDavid's legacy. And I tried to sum that up in this video essay, talking about the hero that is Connor McDavid and the story arc reaching its conflict resolution with his opportunity to lift the cup in 2024.
This city will never be the same. Never be the same.
I know. Not all Canadians outside of Edmonton want to get on the Oilers bandwagon. Vancouver lost to them. Calgary has rivalry with them. Montreal has the distinction of being the last team to win it and the last team that got close. And Toronto is more concerned about deciphering the meaning of coffee dates. But the reason to watch goes far beyond Canada's Cup streak ending. Make no mistake, this is the Connor McDavid Stanley Cup.
I feel like Connor McDavid. I'm the wrong one to play with. If a player tried to check me, then my goons have to chase him.
Yeah, it feels like a dream, honestly.
Not so much a referendum, but an affirmation. A christening to join the conversation with the GOATs. So many greats have lifted it, drank from it. It's the moment we remember, the still photo that is still burned in our memory all of these years later. Gretzky did it in the same city, Crosby did it, and had the opportunity to have a golden goal when he played international best-on-best on home soil. Connor has yet to have that opportunity until now. It wasn't always a likely proposition. The Oilers couldn't have started worse. They were 3-9-1 out the gate, but like the tortoise and the hare, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. They brought in Chris Knobloch, who took over a last place team and has the best record in hockey over the last 6 months. Now the Oilers are in the Stanley Cup for the first time since 2006. Thus, Connor McDavid is in a Stanley Cup final for the first time in his career. He comes in on a heater, leads all playoff players in points, and has the goal of the spring that went viral and surprised everybody but himself.
Cross to McDavid, moves to the outside, works his way.
The series begins in the same building McDavid put on the Oilers jersey for the first time when he heard his name called first overall in the draft. Only three players in the finals have ever won the cup before, but the one player who seems destined for jewelry has always been 97. Everybody is excited for McDavid, even the homies who might be a little too hype and a little too close.
Give me a hug, man. Thank you so much, man.
Some things don't change. What makes a main character interesting is not that they succeed, it's that they go through something on the way to doing it, and that we're invested in the outcome. This is the conflict resolution in Connor McDavid's story. The greatest player in the game, on the game's biggest stage. Take it away, Connor.